Transparency with Mr. Jean. This podcast takes us through the lives and the trials and tribulations of those who have conquered and have become victors instead of victims. I am your host, Mr. Jean, and I'm a father, a singer-songwriter, as well as a motivational speaker. But more importantly, I'm happy you chose to stop on by. What's up, party people? We are back for part two. That's right, part two of Paul Bondoc's story. It is incredible. I think you guys are going to be truly inspired. But more importantly, you're going to be inspired by the term NACOA, which means family. Stay tuned. Take a listen. Hey, were you guys aware that Monday Motivation Volume 1 is now available? That's right. You asked for it. I did it. 10 Monday motivations that can help stimulate you, motivate you, start your day off, as well as put you to sleep. You just have to go and click on the bio or go to the liveexperienceonline.com. Click on the product store and get your Monday Motivation Volume 1. Don't delay, get it now. Hey, before I get into what we are going to discuss this week, I want to let you guys know a couple of things. One, we actually have a Facebook family that we are building here at Transparency. It's a private page, but I'm offering it to you. So the first 100 people that sign up will be able to actually speak to me. Some people don't like the telephone number. This way, you can just send in your question to me, and I'll be able to respond directly to you through this podcast. It is on Facebook. It's Transparency. What's your story with Mr. Jean? Sign up today. I want to be able to speak to transparent people, answer questions, and have the dialogue that we all need to have in this journey of what we call life. So sign on up today. Be part of the tribe. Be part of the family on Facebook at Transparency. What's your story with Mr. Jean? Here's something, as you were telling me the story, that it just stuck out to me when I said, what was your turning point after you had prayed? You said, I heard a voice. And I was, and I'm over here having a praise dance for a second for you, because I'm like, he heard the voice and you shouted out back. It was like, you said, God, take me now or give me a sign. And you heard a voice. I'm over here just like, okay, God, I see what you're doing. I see the fact that you heard, you actually were paying attention enough in that state to be like, something is different here. You heard a voice. They thought you were playing a joke. The helicopter came, pulled you out. Your second life is now beginning.
Yeah.
From that second life, after they pulled you out, I know your family was praising God. I know that, you know, your girlfriend probably is now madly in love with you because she takes back everything that she's ever said dirty about you or mean about you, because she's happy for your safety. But I guess my question that I'm really curious is, with this second life, what were the steps of rebuilding you?
After the accident, you know, my wife and I, we get married. We have our daughter at such a young age. So she was our motivation to try and keep going and through the trials and tribulations and struggles of being young parents and, you know, financially.
Sure.
And everything. We kind of went through that. You know, we got kicked out of the house and we were living in my car for a while. I mean, it's a long story.
Wow.
So it was just about, all those challenges and having to endure in such a young age. And one thing that we kept going for was education, to try and finish school.
Right.
She had just graduated high school and we had our daughter.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And she just finished high school. And so she goes to college first and I follow right after, because one of us had to be home for our daughter.
Sure.
raising her. And then a few years go by, and then, you know, we planned to have another kid because we didn't want my too much of an age gap. So, so we had our son. And at that time, I had already finished, we both had already finished college.
Okay.
At least for our, you know, I got a pretty decent job in IT and computers and stuff. So,
okay.
You know, we were able to get a place of our own for a while.
Gotcha.
You know, and then fast forward though, you know, we move out from San Jose, we move over here in Brentwood where we're living at now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time, you know, my wife was like, you know, let's you know, fast forward to like 2011.
Okay.
My wife was like, okay, let's get family, let's get all bikes for the family, you know, because, you know, we want to try and get in shape and stuff.
Okay.
And so during one of the bike rides, my leg started hurting, my right leg. All of a sudden, a few days go by, and my leg starts blowing up, you know, and I'm wondering what the heck's going on. And just so happened that at that time, my wife's grandfather, who raised her as a young kid,
mm-hmm.
All the way till 12 years old, he passed away.
Oh, wow.
He had to go on emergency to the Philippines.
Okay.
So we fly to the Philippines, and then, you know, the Philippines, the way they, you know, the culture is you follow the casket, right, by walking and following the casket to the church and then following the church, going from the church to the cemetery.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, as we're walking, I was having a hard time already walking to follow to go to the church. And then I was just telling, I told my wife, I said, you know what, I can't walk no more. And my legs hurt really bad. And so, you know, luckily her cousin had his car, and I rode with him for the rest of the way. So anyhow, we get back home, back in the U.S.
Right.
And I immediately go to the hospital, and, you know, I get the MRIs, and an X-ray, the whole nine, and, you know, they said, okay, we'll let you know the results so the doctor takes a look at it.
Sure.
And so I was at work. I was working in San Bruno at the time, near San Francisco Airport, about 2 hours away from where I live.
Okay.
And so I get off work, and I notice on my phone has a lot of missed calls, a lot of calls from Kaiser that and a voicemail. So it says to call right away.
Right.
So I call right after work, and I say, hey, what's going on? I say, hey, where are you? I said, I just got off work. It's like, okay, don't go home. Come straight to the hospital. The doctor needs to speak with you. Let me tell you, brother, it was the longest 2 hours in my life driving in that traffic going back home.
Okay, now, at this time, so I can keep this in context, at this time, 2011,
okay, no.
How much are you weighing right then?
No, I can't remember. Maybe my walking weight at the time was just maybe like 180, because I wasn't really working out or anything like that.
Gotcha. I mean, IT, I'm thinking sedentary.
Yeah.
But your leg is blowed up. I'm just want to follow the timeline. So you had the accident. How long was your rehab after the accident?
From the accident?
Yeah.
The first accident? Oh, man. Well, I was in the hospital for a few months.
Okay.
The whole summer. So I got an accident in July and didn't get out till September. And then I was in a body cast from September to January. They cut my body cast in half. So it was just a cast on my leg. It was all progression. You know, I was on the... It was hard, man. Let me tell you. I mean, being in body cast, my poor mom had to take care of me.
Right.
It was tough times. But
your girl was with you. She stuck with you. Your girl stuck with you. And then you guys, you know, end up getting married and having the baby at a mm-hmm. young age. And then you two both, you know, somebody stayed home while the other one went to college, and then you followed afterwards and got your degree, and then you guys had number two, but you both had college degrees, two young children, and now you're working in IT, you're driving 2 hours a day, actually 4 hours a day, 2 hours to work, 2 hours home, and you get a call from Kai because your leg is bothering you. You go to the Philippines, can't walk that much. Come back home, do your due diligence, go to the doctor. Once you go to the doctor, this day it is the longest 2 hours to the hospital because they said, you need to come here right now.
Right.
So you get to the hospital and what happens?
So the weirdest thing, you know, I go in usually, like when you go to Kyler, you're waiting forever. You check in, you know, you're waiting forever just to be seen by the doctor. But the weirdest thing is that right when I walked in, the nurse was standing right there at the door, and she asked me, "Are you Paul Bondoc?" And I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Come with me." And so she takes me to the room. She's talking to me. I don't remember anything she says to me. The doctor comes in finally, and he's talking to me. And let me tell you, it was just like wah 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 wah. But actually, before that, I called my cousin. I said, "Hey, cuz," I said, "is my life insurance still good, man? Because I don't know what's going on."
Right.
And he was like, he was wondering, "Wow, what's going on?" And I said, "I don't know. I'll tell you later." The doctor comes in like Charlie Brown and like wah 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 wah, and then all of a sudden he says, "You don't have cancer."
Okay.
And that kind of brings me back. He's all, "But you have an infection. We need to drain it right away. We need to get you into surgery."
Okay.
You know, I go to surgery in Walnut Creek. They drain the infection. I lose a lot of blood. I stay there overnight, a few days.
Okay.
Just to get blood transfusion.
Sure.
And they had told me that, if they can take out the infection, the staph infection, then there's a possibility of it going into your bloodstream to screw up, whatever is in body organs and stuff. So I don't know. I said, "Okay, well, cool. I guess I'm, after I got out, I'd be okay." But no, about maybe a few days later, my stomach was hurting really bad. I couldn't, after I ate, I couldn't really, I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
Just really sharp pain. So I go back into the MRI, take me to the ER. And they admit me. They diagnosed me because I had an inflamed duodenum. It's like this, the intestine that attaches to your stomach. It was inflamed.
Okay.
I'm in and out of the hospital in November and December. They let me go home on Thanksgiving, but then just a few days later again, it hits and I have to go back to the hospital all the way up until Christmas. So, and then after Christmas, so I was in and out of the hospital 2 months. Then they send me home in a walker because they had a tick line that went through my arm straight to my heart.
Wow. And
they would send me these, it looked like baby bottles, but they're like, it's called vancomycin, which is like the strongest antibiotic.
Okay.
And I would have to hook up to it just to fight the infection that I had.
Wow.
So you gotta realize I was bedridden for one, and then if I had to get around, I had to get around in a walker because I couldn't get into crutches because of my tick line.
Right.
But wow. Let me tell you, through it all, that whole experience really, because I was on pain medication and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I was on 9 different medications at the time. And just that experience, I was just like, you know what? If I'm going through this decades after my accident, mm-hmm. I mean, is this how I'm going to be living for the rest of my life? I got into a state of depression.
Okay.
And at that point, I didn't really care too much about my health, and I just lost it. I gained so much weight. That's at the point where I started gaining
the weight,
a lot of weight, and with the combination of the medication, that I was taking as well. But I just was. It's not so much just the physical, but the mental state that I was in. I was broken, man. I just didn't know. Decades later, I'm still going through this, and
right.
What's my life to be?
Right.
And I try to stay positive, but it was tough. I mean, the PICC line, they had to clean it out every so often for maintenance. And where I had to get my PICC line cleaned out was in the oncology. So I'm filled with the same room with all these chemo patients.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And, for my regular appointment. So, I mean, depression really set in for me. It's like, you know what? Am I just as bad as this? I mean, what's my life to become?
Right.
Even when I got home, I mean, I would have these severe headaches. My wife would always have to take me to the ER. We'd spend our nights in the ER so often just because I felt like my head was going to explode. And it got to a point where she was like, you know what? Do you want to keep living like this?
Right.
And I said, no. She said, because, don't you want to see your kids grow up?
Right.
And I said, of course. And so she's like, well, we're going to have to change the way we eat. You're going to have to do something, to get into a state and help. So slowly but surely, and she changed the way, she cooked for me, healthy food. I was always stuck on like just whatever I can eat.
Fast food.
Even though it was not necessarily so good for me. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was you know, when I went back to work, I was working graveyard, and, you know, so it was complimentary. So,
oh my gosh.
Know, down in six Coke cans a night, you know,
right.
And then, you know, not really paying attention to what I was taking in. And that, yeah. That's where, you know, just being depressed at the same time, it didn't help. So she said, you know, we're going to have to get into a better state, a better, healthier way of living.
Sure. Sure. In other words, your wife got sick and tired of you being sick and tired.
That's the way to put it.
Yeah, she but you know, either find a good wife, a good woman, find a good thing. You were fortunate enough that you had a woman to see what you needed, and you're fortunate enough that you were willing to allow her to give you what you needed.
Right. Well, she knew how to get me because she knows exactly the stuff that makes it hurt.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Right. Okay. So you're eating better.
Yeah.
You're having this moment where you're eating better now. How much were you when you, how much weight had you gained? I'm just curious by this time during depression. Like, what was your heaviest?
Well, I mean, I never really got on the scale because I was in a wheelchair and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I know I got over, from what I remember from my appointments, because they had to weigh me.
Right.
I was way over, I think I was over like 210.
Okay.
Plus.
Okay, 210, yeah. And this is when your regular weight has been anywhere between 160-ish, probably, you know, I mean, I knew you were telling me earlier that, you know, you were around 180, so, you know.
I was about 180,
yeah.
But now my walking weight now is about 160, 165.
Okay.
So I was about 50 plus pounds overweight, 50, 60, because I lost all the way down to 155.
Mm.
And then, you know, when I went back into the gym and stuff, then I was able to gain some muscle mass.
Right.
A little bit.
Hey, well, right.
to gain a little bit of that.
Okay, so you're eating better. You're at this point now where you've just made the choice of eating better. What were the things that mm-hmm. what was the first thing that you noticed because you had started eating better?
I started feeling better about myself.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of the first things, right? Because it's like, you know, it can actually happen where when you start losing that weight. Granted, I wasn't strong.
Sure.
It was just what we call skinny fat.
Okay.
Where you lose all this weight, but you don't really have any strength.
Gotcha.
But at least the time that she had, you know, after I lost that weight, I had the confidence in myself to say, you know what, hey, you know, I could probably do something active again.
Right.
Because my wife, she had convinced me, like, she was an avid gym goer already.
Okay.
And so she said, you know what, you're gonna come with me to the gym. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, she took me to Zumba of all classes, right?
Wow.
Group fitness. Yeah.
Okay, little Zumba. Okay. You, Mr. Knee Problem. Zumba. With the knee problem already, you just had to get drained a little, like, a couple years ago. Now I'm going to have you go pound out that knee some more. Just, okay. A little Zumba. Okay.
Yeah, well, the knees were still cool. It was the femur, right? So,
yeah. Okay.
The femur that broke. And that, I don't think I mentioned it earlier, but that femur that broke, it was protruding out of my leg. So that's the reason why I lost so much blood.
Okay.
I'm one of the few that can say that I've seen my femur.
Yes, you can. You very, very, yes. If anybody else see, they'd be like, okay. EMS right now, but okay. Wow. Okay. So you had your wife takes you to Zumba.
Right.
Did you like it? Did you like Zumba, or you were like,
eh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, back in high school, I used to dance, doing house, a little bit of breaking.
Okay.
So you know, a little bit of b-boy here and there.
Gotcha.
More popping. Yeah, so it was just like one of those things that, you know, I was previously a dancer, so just like, you know, it kind of touched my soul, you know, with a little bit of Latin flavor, of course,
mm-hmm.
and just to keep jamming. And then, you know, obviously I didn't want to go in the front row. I was always in the back corner, probably one of the only dudes that was in the class. You know, my wife was there, so I was like, okay, cool, I'm with my wife, you know.
Right.
But then she had to go back to work, so I was like, and she told me, you know what? I will pay for that gym membership. You better not waste it. And
right.
So I was already acclimated to going into the class, and you know, people over there, they knew that I go.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept going, and then the few times my wife came, she told me that there was also this class called RIP.
Okay.
Before Zumba. And RIP, just to let you know what a little bit about what that is.
Sure.
It's a combination of weights and cardio and martial arts cardio.
Okay.
So once I tried that out, I just latched on to it. And
gotcha.
That's when I was like, you know what, this is badass. I mean,
this is for you.
I wanted to hit the weights. Yep, I want to hit the weights, do cardio. You know, you get a little bit of martial arts in there.
Right.
With the kicking and punching. And, it actually brings me to Spartan, because one time the fitness instructor and a couple of the gym goers there, they came in with Spartan shirts.
Okay.
Back in 2015.
Gotcha.
And this is after maybe 2 years of going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they come in with Spartan shirts, and I'm like, okay, that's a cool shirt. What is that? And they tell me, oh, it's this obstacle course. Spartan's this obstacle course race. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I was like, I was compelled to look into it. So I looked on the internet. I found this group on.
Right.
And on Spartan. And I kept it as unread in my inbox for the longest time.
Okay.
AT&T was around the corner. I think at the time it was in June, but I couldn't make it. So the Groupon I had was for Tahoe in October.
Okay. Oh my. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. October 2015. It was the end of September, October. I don't remember my dates on it, but it was when Tahoe usually gets
sure.
in the end of September, beginning of October. And so
right.
I kept the unread Groupon in there, in my inbox. And then so it slips my mind. I don't even think about it anymore until one night I'm watching TV on late night. And it was like CSN, I think it was, where they show Spartan, right? And you
sure.
get to see the documentaries. And there's this group of women. I forget which date it was, but there's a team of women that went in. And, they went in as a team to defeat all the obstacles and finish the race together. And so,
okay.
I want to use that kind of like as a testament for myself, I can do it. So I pull out
sure.
the Groupon that I left unread. I sign up. My wife's asleep while I'm doing this. Sign up and I buy the Groupon. I wake her up and I say, Jay, I did something hella crazy. She's like, oh, what? And I said, I signed up for Spartan. I'm like, you gonna go with me? She's all, no, are you crazy? And I said, okay, fine. I'm just gonna drive up to Tahoe myself and just go.
Right.
That's how pumped up I was, right?
And right.
So next thing you know, rather than her joining me, she asks her friend. Her friends to join me. So she asked two of her friends to join me, and she allowed my son, Julius. He was 16
right.
at the time. And I wasn't sure that she would allow him to go with me because he was playing golf and didn't want to risk him, hurting himself because he had to play varsity golf.
Sure.
And so, so she let him go with me and then one of my daughter's friends. So it was a team of five that started our team, and, we called it NACOA. That was our first race back in Tahoe 2015. And I only
wow.
wanted to do one. Let me tell you, brother, I only wanted to do one. Just as a testament for myself, just to say, you know what? I can do it. I did it, right?
Right, you did it.
Yeah. But after that race, let me tell you, so we were so pumped up. Team was like, okay, when's the next Spartan race? Oh, there's this thing called the trifecta. And so we sign up for mm-hmm. Sacramento, and we're like, okay, but where are we going to get our beast? And by that time, it was November, and then we find out, mm-hmm. oh, you can't get your beast. You have to do it all in one calendar year. So we're like, oh, man.
Right.
So we end up doing the Super in Sacramento, but then the year after that, that's when we hit it hard. And it just so happened the first race that we did there was AT&T. And then so, of course,
oh, wow.
our team started growing friends to friends. And then just at that AT&T one, and that AT&T one was in May in 2016, if you remember. And I think that's
yep.
where we met. And that's where we met, brother, where you were like,
yeah.
NACOA Warriors. What does that mean? Right? And so
yeah.
That's when we had, 25, maybe close to 30 people at that race. And that was only our third race in, man.
That is classic because that was that year, oh my gosh, was a official, that was like the official race for me as me being a part of the team.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember. I came up there with so much crazy energy, and now when I go back and do AT&T, I laugh because I'm like, "All right, we back home. Let's do this."
You played a pivotal piece in all of it.
Oh man, well, thank you. I take in the energy and the love that's given back in your squad as always, including you. More importantly,
has always shown me the love. The core is about everybody, bro. You know what?
Yes, about everybody.
But I always tell everyone, because if they're really talking to us and they're a friend of friend, it's always a friend of a friend, right? Or someone that we know, or whatever like that. I always tell them like this. I say, you know what? You're in the core already. You just don't know it yet.
But yeah, it is our squad, and I appreciate when you all are there, because you guys do show up as a team. You do show up as a family.
You know, for us, you know, our family, our team, we're mostly non-competitive. We do have some that are really competitive, but most, you know, what it really boils down to for me is that, you know, inspiring that person, because every person, whether they're new or they're, you know, an OG Nakoa, they all mean something, right? And so, you know, for them to get that feeling of like, you know, yes, you know, I can do this.
Right. Look, in the meantime, look, you can tell everybody Team Nakoa to get that Monday Motivation Volume 1. They can get it on my website if they need to hear that motivation every day. Or when they need it, I guarantee you they will enjoy it. I promise you they'll enjoy it. If everybody wants to get their own copy, or it's, you know, I got 10 motivational things that can start their day or wrap up their day, whatever they need, it's there for them. Or unless they're sick and tired of hearing my voice after race, then don't get it. But if they really want to get that motivation, that Monday Motivation Volume 1, that's on thealiveexperience.com. They can get it. It is there and ready for them. So,
cool.
At the end of the day, I'm truly honored that you have shared your story, which to me is your miracle story, your transformation story, your rebirth story, all the above of, you know, of what God can do, what he has done and what he is doing in you and through you and with you, of your transformation, this journey from you being 16 to now with you. I mean, you are just like the man of energy. I mean, the man of many, many hats. I mean, when you're not, I mean, you're, how many classes do you teach now of instruction at the gym?
Well, I teach 2 nights a week. Because I have my regular daytime job, but then,
right?
You know, I always tell people, do you want to know my boring job or my fun job?
Right.
And you know, my fun job, which is teaching classes at the gym. I have 2 classes a week, but you know, I just picked up a new format now, and I've been subbing called Body Combat. Liz knows Body Combat, so I'm also doing that as well.
2 nights a week, Spartan training. IT, still family. I mean, the kids aren't completely, are they out of the house completely now? Or
no, they're both in college. My daughter, she dormed her first year in apartment, second year, but now she's kind of finishing up just some extra GEs to set herself up for upper vision classes, so she saves money. She's here back at home. She's trying to decide where she wants to transfer. She was over at Cal State Hayward or Cal State East Bay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She doesn't really want to transfer back there. She's thinking about maybe transferring something else. And then my son, he's also doing the community college route, because he's not quite sure what he wants to do yet. And but he's also planning to transfer. So they're still back. They're here at the house, but you know, they're both adults,
right? I know with them being adults, probably it still must be nice.
Yes.
To know that you're able to see them making the right decisions, making the right moves. And as I'm learning, because my children are still young, but, you know, raise a child up in the Lord and they shall not depart. And, you know, once they go out that door, you know, it is literally by the grace of God, therefore they go. And for what, you know, I already have to say that to my son. It's like, you are God's child when you leave this house, but when you're in this house, you become mine again. So my house, my rules. Yes, you are God's child. It is my job to raise you so that you, when you leave this house, you are under his authority, and you know the rules which he's supposed to do. But once you're under this house, when you come back, you're my rules. So no, I'm completely just you know, in awe of your journey. It is truly incredible from where, I mean, from a 100-foot drop to a man of faith with a wonderful, loving family, two kids. I mean, it is a testament, as be able to say, you know, by the grace of God, therefore you have gone, and won't Amen. He do it? And I thank you for sharing your story and allowing yourself to be a vessel to share this story that can touch the hearts of those that are listening to this. So, but before, of course, I let you go, is there anything else that I have left out that maybe you'd like to let my audience know?
Like I said earlier, throughout life, we'll all go through tests of our faith, tests of believing, regardless of the Lord, Allah, Buddha, whatever it be, the higher meaning that you have. Mm-hmm. You don't ever want to lose that faith, because mm-hmm. that faith, let me tell you, without that, you're closing the door on just anything that, just everything good in life. So you don't ever want to lose sight of that. And life's going to have challenges, you're going to have obstacles, but, you know, don't give up. Keep going.
Right.
If you don't pass it the first time, keep working at it, because we're not mm-hmm. perfect. We all have to progress and try to get better. It applies to, you know, relationships, being your marriage, your relationship with your loved ones, friendships, mm-hmm. and anything, man. I mean, and so just keep that faith and what I call an undoubted faith, to where, you know, it's something you don't even need to go to. I mean, not to say that you should go to church, but you should bring it everywhere, not just in church, but everywhere you go, and just know. Get to a point where you just know, and it's innate.
Always before I let anybody go, I have mm-hmm. have a thing that I enjoy doing, which mm-hmm. is called rapid fire. So mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions. And whatever pops off the top of your head, I just want you to say it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Favorite ice cream?
Butter pecan.
All right. Favorite pizza?
Hawaiian.
Hawaiian. Okay. So is that ham, pineapple, anchovies,
I like it with, or? Bacon, pineapple, and pepperoni. Bacon, pepperoni, and pineapple.
Okay.
A lot better.
If you could own any car, what would it be?
Any car.
The Tesla. Okay. Favorite romantic vacation? Location.
Location. Romantic.
Location.
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen. Okay. Last question.
Or Tuscany. Or
Tuscany. Okay. Yeah. Tuscany. Okay. Copenhagen for you. Tuscany will say for you and the wifey. Okay.
Yeah.
Last question. You get off this phone tomorrow morning, you wake up, you go on your way to work, but when you get outside your car, you lean down and you pick up a lottery ticket. When you get to the office, you find out that the ticket that you have is the winning lottery ticket of $30 million. What are you going to do with that money?
Well, I mean, nothing immediately. I'd split it into thirds. One for saving, one for saving, and one for, you know, the family.
Okay. All right. Well, look, if I can just get 0.5%, so I can just, you know, handle some other things that we're gonna do, we'll be good to go. What I tell you guys, his story is truly incredible. Thank you, Paul Bonduck and the COA team, for supporting, being family, and making all your dreams come true. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Every week, I'm actually trying to get better, to present you guys something that is from the heart, more importantly, that you can relate to. Now, Gary Vee says it best, so I'm going to quote him. Sharing these thoughts is like oxygen to me. So if they resonate with you, If you feel that this can benefit somebody, subscribe, share, more importantly, like all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, thealiveexperienceonline.com. And I look forward to speaking and sharing with you guys real soon. Be well.